I think it's okay.
Could work. That's just a backup, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are this time, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles, the entertainment capital of the world, listening to the country and the world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk radio station on the internet. Hey, everybody. As always, a great show here on the couch. And we're talking about a topic that comes up quite a bit, actually, in my practice and also out there in the world, especially. I don't know. Have you guys seen that new NBC comedy show? I think it's called The Good Place. It's where actress Kristen Bell plays a character named Eleanor, and she passes on. It's kind of a cute show. And she passes on, and she's actually accidentally sent to the good place, heaven, whatever. And apparently, when she gets there, she meets her soulmate. His name's Chidi, and he's played by William Jackson Harper. What a great actor he is. It's a cool concept and a funny show, but I don't know. Have you guys thought, has there been a soulmate that's entered your life? I mean, are there really people out there who could be our soulmates here on Earth? Well, I say absolutely. Sure. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about that today. And my guests actually suggest that there are many people out there who could be possible soulmates for all of us. So today we're going to be talking about how to find and create deeper and more extraordinary relationships that we're already in. So this is the way soulmate relationships should be, right? So I don't know necessarily if we're going into the heavy-duty, relationship-loving, deep, you know, this is my spiritual soulmate. Well, yeah, we can make it spiritual, sure. We're just talking about really people who we can feel deeply connected to, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And you don't have to be one of the lucky ones, you know. Rather than wishing or waiting for your soulmate to show up, there are fundamental shifts that we can make even right now to draw that experience into our life. So we're going to be talking today to my special guests, Mally Apple and Joe Dunn. And I don't know if you're a regular here on the show, but they were here several months ago talking about their other recent book, which is a must-read, guys. You've got to pick this up, The Soulmate Lover. It's a guide to passionate and lasting love, sex, and intimacy. So, really. So this is their other book out right now. They do have other ones we'll talk about as well. And at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you how you can, you know, find out more about Mally Apple and Joe Dunn and the classes they teach, the books they've written, and all about who they are. But they're relationship coaches, lovers, best friends, and authors. Now, let me just mention one of the other books that they've written, which is one of my favorites, 52 Prescriptions for Happiness, A Year of Inspiration for the Body, Mind, and Soul. And by the way, Mally and Joe are also co-creators of the Overcoming Jealousy 23-day course. Oh my God, how many of us need to do that? Come on now. We need to, all of us need to overcome jealousy, right? We absolutely do.
And, of course, they're authors of the book we're talking about today, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. So let's bring them back up on the line here. Guys, are you with me? See if I can find them. Mally and Joe, are you on the air with me here? Hello? Hello, hello? See if I can get them up. I'm not sure why they're not coming up on the air here. Let me look at my engineer and see what we can do. Hey, guys, you on the air with me now? All right. Well, what we'll do is let me just give you a little preview here about what's going on with Mally and Joe and their book. Because we all want great soulmate experiences, right? We all want that. I mean, come on. We all want that. It's really important. So we need to look at, in our life, how we've created certain things that have been good for us, are not so good. And we have to take responsibility for those things as well. So it's really important for us to really take a look at what we have done, you know, the things that we need to check out, and the things that are so important for us to learn. So what we're going to be talking about today are the different chapters and how you can get information about getting your act together on your own time. It's not, you know, you can't find it out there without working on yourself in here, right? So what we're going to be doing is talking today. We're still trying to get them up on the line here. For some reason, we've got this thing going on. We're going to talk about changing your mind, you know, a powerful process for identifying and trading up attitudes. I mean, we got to take responsibility, guys. We got to take responsibility for what, how we think, you know? Also, we're going to be talking about loving your body, you know? Loving your body, it'll help you to quiet your self-critical voice, see yourself without judgment, and treat yourself with more compassion. Treat yourself with more compassion. That's what we're going to be doing, is finding out about that. Also, reducing your baggage, which will give you simple and effective techniques. I mean, that'll be fascinating for releasing feelings of loneliness. Also, we're going to be talking about raising your soulmate potential. I mean, it's all about you guys. You got to raise that potential. Also, how to make space to create a safe and loving and respective space for your relationship. Also, turning expectations into invitations. You know, that's what it's all about. And also getting in touch with yourself to transform the energy of jealousy. Oh my God. How many of us are jealous of other people? Look at this. Go online. Come on now. Everybody looks better. Everybody's having a better time. Everybody's more popular than we are. It's a facade, of course. But we're going to find out how to harness this powerful emotion to increase the passion, appreciation, and desire in all of our relationships. And we're still bringing up Mally Apple and Joe Dunn on the air. We're working on it. It's coming on. This is what we call a tease. Also, we're going to tell you how to explore and keep the mystery and excitement in your relationship alive. And there's a little technique called playing at your edges. It's kind of fun, too. And we're going to teach you also how to connect on a soul level. Now, in this part of the book, we've got to get to this too in just a bit, because we're going to tell you how you can find five simple practices at the heart of relating on a soul-to-soul level. How do we relate on a soul-to-soul level? I mean, that's the really important thing. Okay? So think about all these things, and we're going to be pulling up Mally and Joe in just a little bit. Seems like we're having a little technical problem. Keeps kind of dropping off the air here. And let's see if they're on the air now. See if we can pull them up. Are you there with me? Hello? Let's see. Mally and Joe, are you on the air? Just one sec. We're trying to do it. We've got the owner of the radio station in here, Sam. He's actually, there he is. Oh my God. See, Sam, it only took you to do this. Thank you, doll. Appreciate it so much. We're on. I hear him.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. He just said, thank you and I love you. Thank you. Unfortunately, Sam and I are not soulmates, but somewhere we were meant to work together. There you guys go. Hey, we talked about all these things and the wonderful chapters that you guys provided in your book just a moment ago. Thank you guys as well for being patient.
It sounds like you covered pretty much all of it.
I think I did. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So, what a great book. I mean, it did really point out a lot of things about what we need to do to clean up our acts and have more loving and deep and compassionate relationships with other people. Hmm. And again, folks, it's called The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. So I was just mentioning a little earlier that you guys say that relationships with potential soulmates, plurals, come a lot more often than we might imagine, but we have to be available a lot of times for them. So let's talk about some of the ways that we can naturally attract soulmates into our lives. So what are some of those ways?
Really, the thing that we've seen and so many people have been using our book and finding this to be true,
yeah,
that the more they clean out stuff like resentments from past relationships, like expectations about what a partner should be providing to them.
Yes.
The desire to have somebody sort of fix any insecurities you have.
Mm-hmm.
When we know how to clean up, address, heal our own insecurities, all of those things we can do really make us more available for a really deeply connected relationship. And we've seen it work time and time again. And the wonderful thing is, the more we clean that stuff out, the more connected we'll feel with a partner, and the two of us together can then be sort of like a power couple in healing whatever remains.
Mm. That's awesome.
Well said,
well said is right. And you say that changing our minds, you know, we have to change our minds. That's that powerful process, you know, you were just talking about, to identify. And you say trading up attitudes and beliefs. So how do we trade up some of those attitudes and beliefs? I mean, is that difficult? How do we do that?
You know, there's so much out there these days. When I first started doing this work, when I was probably honestly 10, recognizing that the way that I thought about the world really influenced my experience of the world. It is not an easy task for most people to become very aware of the messages they give themselves and then be able to reprogram or just let go entirely of those messages. So I worked with a lot of different ideas, and the one that we outline in our chapter, Changing Your Mind, which is the very first chapter because the way we think about the world and our relationships affects everything, is the simplest, most effective way that I found.
Yeah.
And the basic idea is, and you can try it out any time, you know, if you recognize that I'm having a bad experience, whatever it could be, it'd be like, every time I go out, there's no one out there, there's no good guys out there, I can never meet a good man.
Right.
You recognize that that's just an idea that you're carrying around.
Yeah.
And if you can't totally jettison it, try trading up. Try, you know what? There may not be a lot of good men out there, but there's a couple of them.
There you go.
If you don't have a better experience with that version of the belief than your original.
That always worked for you, didn't it, Molly?
It always worked for me.
Yeah, girl. See?
Molly used to tell the story about going out and talking to these other women who would complain that there were no good men around.
Right.
You know, she's meeting men right and left, right around these women.
Yes.
You know, just because she has this belief that there are tons of great men around.
There
everywhere
are.
You go.
There are tons of great men around everywhere I go.
You know, you're also beautiful, so that's a little bit of a, you know, plus on your title.
You know, you could tell yourself that, Michelle.
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. When I was born with some birth defects, and I've had some surgery to repair them. But until I was about 30, I looked odd.
Oh, bless your
heart.
When
you looked at my face, you knew there were things wrong with me.
Oh.
And so I didn't have the advantage of, oh, I'm beautiful. Right?
You're
I knew
amazing.
That I was kind of an odd duck.
You're amazing.
So the power of my beliefs was even more important.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That is a really cool story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Molly. And bless your heart. Now, Joe, I want to kind of put you on the spot here. Were you always thinking about that yourself, or like, you know, Molly had that kind of vibe when she was 10 years old, that the what you think is what you're going to create, you know, what you put out there. When did you sort of tap into this?
I was a lot older than Molly when I finally figured that out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably been in the last 20 or 25 years, yeah. You know, in terms of really relationships.
Yeah, but, yeah. That's no bad. Hey, you've been thinking and feeling that for 25 years. So you're creating that as well. You've been creating that for quite a long time, actually.
Right.
And you were 12, right?
It was 14,
yeah. I think. Oh, okay, great. I love it. So we got to trade up those attitudes and beliefs. I mean, it's all about sort of changing our thoughts. And we do have to, you know, use all those tricks that we talk about. And you have to believe them as well. But, you know, right? But, I mean, we kind of segue into that, right?
It is true, and yet you got to find what works for you.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the reasons we give so many tips for anything we're talking about.
Yep.
Like the idea of letting go of resentments. Yeah, sometimes if there's something we can do to rectify it, if we can go talk to somebody and say, this is how I felt about what you did.
Yeah.
But oftentimes that avenue is not available to us. So having other techniques...
Yeah.
Some work for some people, some work for others. I've always been, you know, sort of collected ideas and come up with many of my own and tried them out and
yes.
love to give people, here's 30 ways you might try to let go of resentment. Just find the one that works.
Right, exactly. Just find the one that works. And, you know, my next question that I sort of prepared, because you have a great chapter dedicated to it, but, you know, it was just what you were talking about. Molly, it was about, you know, your feeling that you weren't as beautiful as you would like to be, you said, up until you had some surgeries, I guess, when you were around 30-something. But, you know, we all compare ourselves with others who are hotter, slimmer, or more buff. But like you said, we can quiet those bad messages and say, I love who I am as I am. I mean, that's it. I'm cool with all this. And you know what? I'm good. I don't have to compare myself with anyone because I'm special in my own way, right? So we have to learn.
I think sometimes it might be a challenge just to take that overall,
yeah.
you know, idea that, okay, I'm good and that's all I need.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we need to, like, sort of pick the things that we really do feel good about ourselves and focus on those and focus on increasing those till we get to the point where there are enough good things that we're happy about with ourselves that
yeah.
then we can say, okay, I'm good now, you know.
Right.
Feeling much better about myself.
Developing a habit
yeah.
of, for instance, when you look in a mirror, reprogramming where you look to stop
yes.
looking at the things you consider your flaws mm-hmm. and look at the things you actually like. And this is tough work to reprogram it, but it is so rewarding
yes.
when you get it.
And here's one way you can do that, Michelle, mm-hmm. is we have in our bedroom 1, 2, 3, 4... probably 5 different mirrors.
We're in the bedroom.
You
and
guys,
one of them
cool.
is, or two of them are on this big armoire that Molly
yes.
recently came across and purchased. And the rule for the mirror in the armoire is this is only to appreciate, you can only look in the mirror to appreciate yourself.
Yes.
Right? So if you look in this mirror, it has to be for appreciation. And it's a great sort of mental trick to play.
Yes.
Right? It's like, oh, here's the mirror. I've got to look at something that I really like about myself, right?
Yes,
because we're
exactly.
so used to looking in the mirror and focusing in on the things that we don't like.
Well, right.
Right, and that's all we see.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
this is a sort of a different way to, you know, to trick your mind.
To trick yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to be self-critical, you look in some other mirror.
There you go. No,
but,
you,
so
that's
I,
cool.
I love yeah. the idea of getting a beautiful mirror and these, yeah. you know, I love garage sales, and this was an
cool.
antique English armoire
yeah.
and for next to nothing.
Yeah.
And to find a beautiful mirror and hang it on your wall, and that mirror is only for appreciation.
Oh, that's a good one. I really like that. So I hear all these people out there right now saying, yeah, but I always look at my cellulite on my rear and my thigh. Stop. There is an appreciation mirror out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the old joke that you got also have to have a mirror that says objects appear smaller in the mirror.
Right? Or bigger, depending.
Thank you,
darling.
Depending. That's it. There you
depending
go.
Depending on what messages we're giving ourselves about where our flaws are.
That's right, girl. Exactly. But no,
here's
it's
one other
wonderful.
Little trick I
yes.
like to give. I
yeah.
was born with only one eye.
Yes.
And my good eye, the vision is quite tenuous.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I've always been up against, you know, the possibility of being blind. And
wow.
That is something I think about frequently when
yes.
I catch myself self-criticizing in a mirror. I
yes.
think, if you went blind today, would you be criticizing this? Would you even know about it?
Wow, that is heavy. That is really heavy. So there you go. And by the way, you are beautiful. I mean, wow, Mally, you look, girl, I'll tell you what, you're pretty awesome looking. So, you know, no, but that's really true.
So.
I know you do. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in today, I'm talking to Mally Apple and Joe Dunn. They have been on the show before, and we want them back again and again because they're awesome. Relationship coaches, lovers, best friends, and authors of several books. Today, we're talking about their latest book, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. Really important to do, guys. And, another concept that I love that you guys talked about, maybe you can explain that a little bit more for me, is the making space in our lives in order for a new relationship or to improve our current relationships. So is that the same as when somebody goes, I need some space, or is it, you know, just creating space? What is that about?
It could be the same.
Yeah. Right?
I think when you're in a relationship,
yep.
things tend to start to accumulate.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because, something might come up and we feel weird about it and we don't talk about it and we figure, oh, if I just don't mention this,
right.
then it will be fine. And
it'll go away.
Right.
And then you collect more and more and more of the stuff.
That never goes away.
And at some point, you're suddenly wading knee-deep in this stuff that hasn't been dealt with. And we really, truly believe in bringing it up when it happens, and it's going to be awkward, and it might be uncomfortable, but those are not bad things.
Exactly.
And if you have a clean space, then when a little something shows up in it, it's much more easy to deal with than if you've got, you know, layers and layers of issues and resentments
right.
that have been accumulating.
Yes.
You know, you see that thing that shows up so clearly because there's nothing else around it.
Right. Exactly.
So it's so much easier to deal with. You know, don't let the stuff build up.
Right.
And you have a clean relationship. We've been together almost 14 years, and it is amazing how clean this feels. Like there is nothing that we couldn't talk about.
See, that is so amazing because, I mean, it's like if you were a fly on the wall in my practice, I hear so many secrets. You know, I just can't tell my partner this. I would not dare. Well, okay, maybe he or she doesn't want to hear about, you know, the details of your last or whatever years of your other sexual experiences. But, I mean, maybe you can share what you've learned from some of those things or something, right? I mean, open up.
Absolutely.
Any way you could start that conversation. I love the way you just said it, is if you could just share what you learned in that experience, you know, because if it brings up anxiety or fear from your partner, you want to work with it and hold those things and do your best to heal those things together because that makes more space for connection between the two of you.
Mm.
We do have a lot of videos on our channel about talking about sex because we find it is one of the most important and fun ways to stay connected sexually and actually to deepen your sexual connection.
It really
is. That's about all we talk about.
Well, good for you. I love that. I am so proud of you guys. No, and it is love. It's about love. You know, it really is. It's marvelous. I don't know. Have you guys seen that new show on Masters and Johnson on the, what's that, Showtime? I always promote all these shows.
We did watch a little bit of that.
Yeah, sort of interesting. Yeah. It's just sort of the start of the sexual revolution.
We're in love with her.
Oh, isn't she awesome?
Yeah.
No, she's so awesome. And, you know, it really is. It's like I think people should watch it because, I mean, it shows how really thoughts about, you know, becoming more in touch with who you are and tactile sensation and, you know, sensate focus is what they're working on now in the show. Obviously, I like to watch it because it's just a fascinating story, the way they weaved in the characters and everything. But What you're talking about. Yeah.
Just speaking on that, we find one of the things that's helpful if people have a body issue, like my breasts are too small, or my penis is too small, or something's too big, or any of those. There are so many incredible documentaries coming out on these topics. If you type documentary on small breasts into Google, you'll find these, and they are really healing to watch.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great suggestion because, I mean, I think, again, we talked about it earlier in the show. Everybody has, you know, they're comparing themselves constantly because of, you know, social media about what should I look like and who should I look like, who would I look like.
We think we're the only ones, right, with our issues.
Oh, yeah.
And if we watch one of these documentaries where people share their experiences, we realize, hey, there's tons of people that have the same fears. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And as, you know, sort of corny as it sounds, the beauty comes from within. I mean, that's bottom line. I mean, if you don't feel good about yourself, try to be the best you can. Fix your hair up a little bit, you know, gain a little weight, knock off some weight, do a little workouts, whatever you want to do to take care of you. But it really does come from within, you know, and that's what we have to do is get in touch with that. I'm really okay about my body, and I love that which I am.
Joe has a great phrase that he that we actually have in the Soulmate Experience that he came up with, and he said it to me one day, and it was just so glorious. He said, "You are one possible way of being beautiful."
Oh, I love that.
It is so powerful.
God,
and
that is
powerful.
We
even suggest people put that message on their mirror.
Yes, that is a great. That is a wonderful message.
And I think that if you take that message on, you'll start to see the beauty in yourself that maybe you didn't see before.
It's true. I mean, the more we really instill those positive thoughts that we can believe in, it is, of course, forming the neural patterns for more of those same thoughts. And the negativity sort of fades away. You know, if we just really...
Here's another great exercise to do that little bit of reprogramming is sit in a public place or a cafe, and every single person you see, find something beautiful about them.
Ooh, I like that. That
you start really doing it with everyone, even especially people who are older than you, so that, you know, as you age, you're already in the habit of looking for what's beautiful.
Yes, that is lovely. Can we talk about some of the other qualities that we all might want to try to improve in ourselves? You know, that'll make it easier for us to create a connected relationship with someone else. Again, we're talking about going within and taking care of ourselves.
Here's one of the things that I think people find attractive is somebody who's in love with life.
Yes.
And how do you, if you don't feel in love with life, how do you get yourself in love with life?
Yes.
You really have to tap into your own passions. And instead of putting your focus, if you're single, on finding that person, going out, meeting that person, you know, making myself so that person will see me, worrying about whether they like me and all that stuff people do constantly, let that go. Follow your passions. Be out in the world following your passions. And that's the easiest way to meet somebody who's attracted to the person you really are.
Yes. That's beautiful. I love that. It's so true. That's a really good way to do it. That's a wonderful way to think. And a lot of people out there, you know, I hear it going, yeah, but. No yeah buts, guys. Come on, get with it. Listen to what they're talking about because it worked for them and it's worked for hundreds and hundreds of clientele that Mally Apple and Joe Dunn have had thousands throughout the years. By the way, in case you just tuned in, Mally and Joe are experts. They're on my show right now. We're talking about their latest book, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. And, of course, you guys are relationship coaches, lovers, best friends, and isn't that the best to have? You know, they always say, teachers just teach. They never do. Well, you guys are doing it, and you're teaching it. So that's the beauty.
You want to tell them how we're doing it now?
Yeah, how you doing it now?
Oh.
How you doing it now?
Our latest experiment?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Come on now. There's no FCC here.
The next book?
Okay.
No. So our latest sexperiment.
Yes.
Well, this is our second time around. The first is, how many days in a row can we have sex?
Wow.
And the first time we got to 17, and we thought that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
One of us got sick. I think that's why it ended.
Or it wouldn't have ended.
And this time, that's right, it wouldn't have. This time around, we're at 41.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, way.
What are you guys?
The weekend's ahead of us.
You know, are you guys 15? 16? I don't know. What's up with that?
We act like we're 15.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing what we are learning from this little experiment of ours, honestly. We just keep learning so much about desire and connection and intimacy, and you know, we thought we wrote the book on it, but
yes.
We are just really learning so much. And one of the things that I've learned is, you know, I've been in menopause a few years, and I've always heard that one of the ways women can kind of get their mojo back, if they're feeling low desire, low libido, is to have sex. That for women, having sex, having orgasms, produces the hormones that make you feel like having sex.
Yeah.
And I've given that advice, I've researched and then said, okay, this makes sense scientifically, but now I've experienced it. It's really true.
Wow, that is so cool. Yes.
The sex experiment actually gets easier as the days go by.
Yeah. The more you do, the more you want to do. That's it, you know. And good for you guys. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. And by the way, guys, I do have, you know, some emails coming in from my regular listeners here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And maybe we can answer some of these questions that might be coming in as well. But I do want to get to some of the other awesome chapters in your book and sort of help folks out about finding their soulmate and keeping quality relationships. But I have an interesting question here from Anna, who writes, hey, guys. She said, my partner and I are total opposites. That's why we attracted in the first place. We are an amazing couple, except sometimes in the bed he's really shy, and I'm very outgoing. Parentheses, kind of the opposite, huh? So how can we, as complete opposites, have a better sex life? Okay, I like that question, Anna. Thank you so much. Maybe hey, guys, this is all you. I'm just
so
saying.
One of the best things that we talk about, and it's actually in our book, The Soulmate Lover, there's an entire chapter on this. We call it invitation.
Okay.
Because the thing that doesn't work in that situation is, you know, asking for, you know, I really wish you'd be more aggressive. I really wish you'd do this. It kind of can put somebody on the defensive and make them feel bad about themselves.
Sure.
And this is a little bit of a technique to learn, and that's why we gave a bunch of examples in that chapter, because it's not an easy one. But once you get it, it's super powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It's an invitation is an opening that you create for someone to try something new and feel safe trying it, and yet, of course, it's still a little on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that little bit of uncomfortableness is part of keeping the spice in the sex life.
Yes.
So there are just so many sexually now, the world is wide open. There's so many things to try. There's so many things you can order and try. There's so many books. There's so many videos. There are so many new experiences to go somewhere and have. So to be the one, the partner who's more into it, to be the one to be researching that and saying, how about this?
Yeah.
What do you think of this? We could go together. You know, I'll be there with you. We'll you know, I'm nervous about it too, but I'd love to go try this. What do you think?
Yeah.
And to be able to do that in a no expectation, no big deal, not going to make you wrong if you say no right now, and I'll ask you again in the future if you say no right now, can be really, can help open some doors.
Yes.
And that's really the key, though, is to not have any expectation. You know, you pretty much have to check in with yourself to say, well, how did I feel when they said no this time? Am I okay with that?
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're okay with that, then it's probably easy to ask it again.
Yeah.
In the future.
That's right. That's exactly what you have to do. And that's that whole thing with communication, you know, that you guys are talking about, which is beautiful.
Right.
And there are just so many, so infinite number of things to explore in the bedroom. The idea of continuing to go, okay, he's shy, he's not very aggressive, he's not coming up with anything. If I want to stay in this relationship and if I want a great sexual connection, it's really going to be on me to feel okay about continuing to bring new ideas until, you know, he says yes to this one and that one and that one. And those yeses are going to have a domino effect.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right. He'll feel more comfortable as he tries these things. He'll know that it's what you're bringing up is safe, you know, and then he can move into it slowly or not at all. That, you know, that there's no pressure.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously, you have to make sure there aren't hormonal or any other health issues that might be affecting.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
And desire.
There's always the medical.
Rule that out.
Sure, absolutely. Great suggestions, guys. I love that. Thank you so much for that. Something I want to get to in just a bit is the concept of jealousy, because this comes up in so many cases in my practice and has for the last 15 years. I mean, we all get jealous. Come on, it's a normal sort of reaction. But, you know, sometimes it overwhelms us so much that we just, it's almost blinding, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it really is. So how can we harness this powerful emotion of jealousy that we have?
This is a great one. I mean, it's so important that we did a whole course on how to overcome jealousy.
Right.
And worked hard at getting that right and going through, you know, trying out these different, you know, experiences and feelings and how to deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you are the one experiencing jealousy, mm-hmm. the first step is to look at the mechanism by which that jealousy gets triggered.
Okay.
And by that, I don't mean, oh, it's because, let's say, Joe, my partner, is talking to someone else who's really attractive, and he's obviously attracted to her, and that's what causes the jealousy.
Okay.
That's not what causes the jealousy. If I were blind, if I were in the next room, he did that, it wouldn't cause jealousy, right?
Right.
No, I'm the key here.
Yes.
What I tell myself about what I'm seeing is what causes that, what triggers that emotion in
me. Yeah.
We get back to that why changing your mind and the ability to be aware of what you're thinking and the emotions that roll out because of it is that essential skill. That takes you so far in life.
Yes.
And it can really, really, really be helpful with this. And, you know, most 99% of jealousy is not somebody's actually doing something to harm you.
Right.
It's something we make up a story.
Right.
We make
do.
Up a story that, oh, he finds her more attractive.
Yeah.
He's going to want to go off with her. He's not going to want to be with me. We've got to be aware that we're thinking that, make the connection between that thought and the emotions that immediately overwhelm us when we have that thought.
Right.
And then break that cycle.
Yes. And we break that cycle as well, I think, and you talk about it in your books. To try and love what we have about ourselves and empower ourselves with our own gifts and the things that, you know, we know that are unique about ourselves. It's about self-esteem too. We are all unique.
And when you have a partner that you can actually work with,
right,
and say, you know, when we go to parties, I'll tell you, most of the time I end up having this experience of jealousy, and this is, I'd love to be able to tell you, this is what I'm thinking that's making me feel jealous, and have you work with me on those thoughts,
and
the legitimacy of those thoughts.
Yes,
very
exactly.
Healing experience.
Oh, it is. And
talk with your partner.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
To do that with your partner can be a very healing experience, you know, so especially if your partner's genuinely concerned that, oh, you might be feeling jealous, you know, and wants to do something about that.
God, it's so true. You know, I hear
and
that
the
all
idea
the, yeah.
of transforming the feeling of jealousy, and this is kind of the higher step after you've got a little bit of facility with being able to redirect those thoughts or at least recognize the connection between the thought and the jealousy, is to interpret that emotion. Mm. That's really, it's just a complex biochemical reaction that's happening in you, right?
Right, exactly.
It's very similar to what happens when you're sexually excited. They're very similar biochemical reactions.
Yes.
And to be able to interpret that rush of jealousy as desire for your partner.
Yes.
That may sound crazy, but it is powerful.
It is not crazy. And if your partner gets jealous of you, that's right. Exactly, Molly. You have to interpret that as they just care for me so much, they dig me so much that they're so jealous. You know, they just don't want me to be someone else's. You know, and that's what I hear, too. You know, people going to parties, you know, women and men just kind of looking at their partners mingling around. And I hear this all the time. It's like, look at her talk to that guy. You know, she's excited, and we should be glad that they're excited.
Yeah.
But they're coming home with us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's something to that.
And Michelle, there's a great thing that Molly and I do a lot of the time before we go into a party like that, where we might be separate and talking to other attractive people, is, you know, we get together ahead of time and we set an intention between us. And oftentimes that intention is just to stay connected.
Right.
Regardless of where we are at the party, whether we're together or apart. Mm-hmm. And having that as you go in, you know, just sort of sets the groundwork for a very connected evening, even if you're not side by side the whole time.
Right. And we have a lot of videos out on our YouTube channel, Molly and Joe, about this topic.
Yeah.
That your partner is attracted to other people.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
And trying to rein them in and keep them in a cage and go against nature, mm-hmm. meaning,
yeah.
you know, there are a few people who, when they're in love with someone, they will never be, again, be attracted to everyone else. But that is rare.
Yes.
And it's not something we should be trying to get our partner to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's deadening.
Mm-hmm. It can
so
be. Sure.
To recognize and acknowledge to each other, and the more openly you can talk about it and acknowledge it, the more you can actually use that natural attraction to other people to fuel your own sexual desire and connection to each other.
Mm. Boy, is that really good.
Very true.
Good stuff, guys. We have another email quickly. I just wanted to check this out because I hear this a lot. I know you guys do in your classes and, you know, when you're working on material for your books. On straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, Chelsea just wrote us here live. She says, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 2 years, but we fight a lot. Sometimes I feel that he belittles me and it hurts me deeply, and I resent him. So I am not really in my head or in the mood for sex many times. He's okay because he can always have sex. How can I get out of my head and fix this? Hmm. Oof, that's a heavy one.
Yeah, it is a heavy one. I mean, first you got to decide whether that really works for you to be in a relationship where you feel belittled.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, and whether you can work with that.
Yeah, and I would definitely want, you know, if I were in that situation and felt like I'd talked about it, I'd explained, when you say this, I feel this way, and not feeling like I'm being heard, I would definitely want to be having a third party, you know, sit down with us so that we can have those conversations and someone else can help mediate that to make sure. Because if you're the one that's feeling belittled, you don't know whether some of that you brought into the relationship from your past, you don't know whether, you know, your own issues with self-esteem, which we all have, helped pick this particular partner for you. But a third party, some kind of counselor, can be really, really helpful.
Yeah.
And if I was feeling like that, I wouldn't want to have sex either.
No, exactly.
I totally get that.
That's right.
It's really hard to feel good about yourself when you're feeling like someone's just putting you down.
Right.
Feel good about your partner.
So
exactly.
I would want to get, you know, that help and that reality check, because there's the other side of it, that it could be that he's not doing that and that you're interpreting in that way just because of how you were raised, because of, you know, experiences you had in the past. So I think that going to a counselor is not a bad idea at all.
Yes, exactly. That's beautifully said, guys. And thank you, Chelsea, for being so open about that. And hopefully, you know,
I would like to say one more thing to Chelsea.
Yeah.
There's so much help out there for different ways to raise your own self-esteem and feel self-confidence and feel self-love. And I would definitely be Googling books and videos about that and doing whatever you can to raise your own sense of self, because the better you feel about yourself, the less somebody's going to be able to belittle you no matter what.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said, Molly. Thank you. And again, Chelsea, thanks so much for checking in here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me and my guests, Molly Apple and Joe Dunn. And, of course, they've been on the show before with their awesome books. But today we're talking about their latest, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. And I just wanted to touch on this, too, because this is like, oh, boy, this is the culmination of getting it together, guys, in your book. You know, whether it's the way we approach expectation or resentment or jealousy that we were talking about or how we treat our partner or ourselves, you say that our relationship experiences are largely shaped by the moment-to-moment choices we make. So what are the five simple ways, and I love simple, love that, that we can respond to anything that comes up in our lives?
You know, this is the last chapter in our book, and these really the five guiding principles for everything we talk about.
Cool.
And where they actually come from, you know, I've been studying spirituality really since I was probably 8 or 9. I started this journey.
Neat.
And these are the five themes that run through every single aspect of spirituality that you could study.
Mm.
And they're very simple. The first one is the idea of acceptance.
Yes.
And acceptance doesn't mean that you give up your ability to change something or, you know, get walked all over. It means simply that this is what's happening right now, that this is, if it's in relationship, this is who this person is being right now.
Mm-hmm.
And by not resisting who they're being, you actually put yourself in a better position to assess the situation and make changes.
Right.
So acceptance is a really powerful practice.
Mm-hmm.
Something about resistance that just sort of fixes you in place.
Stops everything.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
The second one is presence. A lot of great teachers are coming out and teaching about this.
Mm-hmm.
But presence, it's really the ability to let go of thoughts about the past, worries about the future, and be present with your partner
right.
in the moment.
Beautiful. So
important. Where is that really important?
Yeah.
In the bedroom.
Yeah. You got that
right.
You got it,
Joe.
You got that right, guys. Exactly.
You can actually help each other with that. I mean, there's times I've said to Joe, oh, gosh, I'm really thinking about what I have to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he'll say,
like, put it,
hello.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Just feel my hands on you.
Right.
And we're just going to come back inside here with the two of us.
That's right. It's be in the now, be in the moment by moment, presence.
Yeah, and it's really about letting go of thought and getting really into what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Powerful for having a connected experience.
Oh boy,
anywhere.
Is it ever. Yeah, exactly.
The third one is the idea of coming from love rather than fear.
Hmm.
And this is just a helpful way to be able to assess what kind of state you're in and whether that's the best state to make decisions or actions from.
Right.
So if you're feeling things like anxiety or doubt or blame or jealousy or anger or complaint, if you're having thoughts of inadequacy or comparison, those are an indication that you're coming from a fear. And this is one way to think about it. This doesn't work for everybody to think about it. But to recognize that that's not the clearest place from which to make decisions or take actions until you can work with and let go of those.
Right.
And, you know, get to a place of where you're feeling compassion for yourself, where you're feeling connected to the world.
Right.
That's the place where you want to make your decisions from.
Yes, exactly. And in your fifth practice, you say appreciate every moment. That's the moment-by-moment experience, right?
Gratitude.
Gratitude, girl.
Huge.
That
Huge
is it.
Gratitude. Yeah.
Right. And
I'm finding more about that every day. I mean, the more grateful I am for what I have, the more amazing my life becomes.
That is
as simple
so
as that.
True. That is so true. So that thought to producing more positive energy, bringing that to you, and it is so true. Gratitude is beautiful. Morning, noon, night, whenever you can do it, you send out the gratitude for everything that you have in your life, even the negativity, right, that's taught you so many lessons.
Yes, absolutely.
Even the pain. So
absolutely. I am over the world grateful for my blind eye.
Oh,
I have
bless
learned
your
more
heart.
From that than
Wow.
Anything else could have taught me.
You are a super special being, I'm telling you. So what is the best way that listeners can find out more about you guys and your classes and get all of your books that we've been talking about?
You can find our books pretty much anywhere, Amazon or a number of booksellers carry our books, The Soulmate Experience, as well as The Soulmate Lover. Mm. And we've been doing some great...
Uh-oh, I just lost them. Wait a minute. Okay, guys, you know what? For some reason, the satellite just popped off. Hold on. We're going to get them again. Hold on. Here we go. We're going to get them again. Just 1 minute because I don't want to lose them.
Into an automatic voice message system.
Aw, darn. There we go. We just lost them. But listen, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that you can get all of their books on Amazon.com. My complete apologies, guys, for this darn thing happening again on the satellite here on LATalkRadio.com. Not our fault. It's Skype's fault. We're going to blame it on them. The book, by the way, is called The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. And you can, of course, pick it up at any store. And, of course, you can go onto their website. And I'm going to have all this information up for you guys at the end of the show in our archives to find out more about our extraordinary authors, Molly Apple and Joe Dunn. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. And it's happened again. But anyway, blessings to you both for being on the show. Thank you so much for enlightening all of us about the soulmate experience. And there's more to come. We'll have them on the show again, guys. Don't you worry about anything because they're the best. All right. Thanks again so much for listening to the show. As I always do say, take good care of yourself first, and then you will be good for other people. Again, blessings and thanks to Molly Apple and Joe Dunn for being special guests on the show. All right. Next week, we're going to be answering listeners' questions and issues about anything and everything. Everything is open and on the table. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next week. Dr. Michelle Cohen says bye-bye.